In a sun-drenched living room of Bronwyn's home, Addie Prentice watches her ex-boyfriend Jake Reardon deliver a carefully orchestrated speech from juvenile detention. Despite his pressed blue shirt and rehearsed remorse, she recognizes the predatory glint in his eyes, the same look he had when he controlled her every move, isolated her from friends, and eventually tried to kill her in the school gymnasium. "He's not sorry," Addie observes, unconsciously touching the faint scar on her neck. Given the chance, he wouldn't have done anything differently except avoid getting caught. Her words prove prophetic when days later, Jake secures a new trial and returns to Bayview on bail. The news sends shockwaves through the community, especially among the murder club, Addie, Bronwyn, Nate, Cooper, and Maeve, who know firsthand what Jake is capable of. Though they secure a restraining order, Jake's shadow extends beyond legal boundaries. Just as the community begins processing Jake's return, mysterious billboards appear around town bearing ominous messages. "Time for a new game, Bayview," and "There's only one rule." These warnings evoke memories of Simon Kelleher's deadly About That app and Jared Jackson's Truth or Dare game, both of which left death in their wake. The strategic placement of these billboards near the school, mall, and murder club members' homes suggests someone intimately familiar with their past is watching. The new game claims its first victim when Phoebe Lawton disappears after Nate's party. The murder club finds her drugged in Bayview High's equipment shed with "practice" written on her arm. Phoebe later describes being held in a room with green vine-patterned wallpaper, a detail Addie recognizes from Jake Riordan's vacation home. Before they can investigate, Reggie Crawley, Nate's roommate known for secretly recording women, is found dead, tied to a chair with "makes" written on his arm in identical lettering. Maeve connects the dots. Practice, makes. Each victim forms part of a message, likely building toward "practice makes perfect," raising the question of who represents perfect. Their investigation reveals this was a famous advertising campaign from Conrad and Olson, where Jake's mother, Catherine, worked alongside Alexander Alton, who drowned 6 years ago. The situation intensifies when Jake disappears, his ankle monitor cut off. Victim or orchestrator? As the murder club investigates the connection between the current attacks and Conrad and Olson advertising agency, they uncover secrets about Alexander Alton's death. Through Vanessa Merriman, a former high school rival now aiding them, they learn Catherine Riordan had an affair with Alexander before his mysterious drowning death while Catherine was in Mexico. She called him her ticket out of her marriage, Vanessa reveals after Catherine's wine-fueled confession. The group investigates Alexander's children, Chase, Christopher, Chelsea, and their mother who died in a car accident. Maeve discovers Chelsea's Oxford Instagram photos were stolen from Sophie Hicks Hartwell. They've been catfished. They uncover that Evie, a barista hovering around their investigation, is actually Chelsea Alton. More surprisingly, Gavin Barrett, Nate's coworker, knew Chelsea from Ohio. Together, they've been plotting revenge against those they blame for Alexander's death, with Jake Riordan as their primary target. The truth about Alexander Alton's death emerges through shocking revelations. 6 years earlier, Jake and Simon witnessed Scott confronting Alexander, who claimed to be Jake's biological father from an affair with Catherine Riordan. When Scott attacked Alexander and left him unconscious, Jake made the horrifying decision to smother Alexander with a towel while Simon secretly watched through the window. Simon kept this knowledge as leverage over Jake, a debt he would later collect during his revenge scheme at Bayview High. This revelation exposes Jake's inherent darkness. The monster in Jake existed long before we met, Addie realizes. His murder of Alexander was his original sin, the moment he crossed an irreversible moral line. It explains Simon's power over Jake and Jake's desperate measures to protect his secret. For Chelsea, this knowledge fueled her revenge quest. She adopted her father's last slogan, "Practice makes perfect," as the framework for her retribution game, targeting those she deemed complicit, with Jake as the perfect in her deadly equation. The story climaxes when Chelsea and Gavin capture Addie, Phoebe, and Jake at Chelsea's childhood home. Chelsea forces Jake to face the truth about Alexander Alton's murder while beginning to write "perfect" on his arm. When Cooper and Lewis arrive, Chelsea shoots Jake, her revenge complete. The murder club escapes Jake's threats, but must grapple with the moral complexity of what happened. Afterward, each character chooses their path forward. Owen confesses his role in Brandon Weber's death. The Shaw family practices brutal honesty to heal. Nate tells Bronwyn he has a 50-year plan with her, despite her leaving for college. Addie, perhaps changed most profoundly, prepares for Peru. In a symbolic act of closure, she burns an old photo of herself with Jake on the beach. The thing about monsters, Addie reflects, is that they only have power over you if you let them. Jake's gone, but I'm still here, and I get to decide what that means. Throughout the story, secrets function as both weapons and shields. Characters conceal truths for protection, only to discover these secrets often cause more harm than the truths they hide. Phoebe's concealment of Owen's involvement in Brandon's death isolates her, making her vulnerable to Chelsea's exploitation. When she finally confesses to Knox, his response, "You're perpetuating the cycle," forces her to confront the consequences of her silence. Jake's family similarly crumbles under the weight of paternity secrets and Alexander Alton's murder. As Simon noted, secrets are power, but that power often corrupts both keeper and affected. Maeve observes that most people aren't malicious, they're afraid, recognizing deception typically stems from vulnerability rather than malice. The novel shows that truth, however painful, enables healing. The Shaw family's brutal honesty after Owen's confession helps them process trauma, while Addie's acknowledgement of her past without letting it define her future becomes a step toward freedom. The truth doesn't set you free, Addie reflects, but it does give you somewhere to start. The trilogy concludes with measured but genuine hope. While trauma leaves lasting scars, healing emerges through connection, honesty, and courage to imagine a different future. Addie transforms from controlled girlfriend to independent woman planning adventures abroad. Nate and Bronwyn build a relationship based on mutual respect. Phoebe and Knox demonstrate how vulnerability deepens connection as their friendship evolves romantically. Even Owen finds peace through confession and accountability, breaking Bayview's pattern of denial. The novel's final image, Addie burning Jake's photo while holding the secret of her future niece's name, symbolizes breaking cycles. She watches the past turn to ash while anticipating a new generation. The thing about revenge, she reflects, is that it keeps you tethered to the person who hurt you. I want to be free. This freedom embodies the trilogy's core message. Breaking cycles requires not forgetting the past, but refusing to let it dictate the future.